everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is our new producer and engineer. He's been with us now about 2.5 weeks since we did the changeover with the new ownership. He's doing a great job for us on the Buckmaster Show. We do keep him on the other side of the glass. No, there's no quarantine, but he has got a big smile on his face, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thanksgiving Eve. It's the night before the big day. It's Wednesday, November 21st. It's the earliest Thanksgiving can possibly come. Happened, I think it was 2012 was the last time we had Thanksgiving this early. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. We have lots of activity on my Facebook page, have 5,000 friends who follow us. Not so much on Twitter. I haven't gotten into Twitter as much as Facebook, but I checked this morning and got about 700 people following us, too, on Twitter. All of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com, our live line number 790-2040. Well, the headline in the Arizona Daily Star a couple of weeks ago said, "Time for new challenges. Coach Jeff Skurin to call it quits at age 71. Well, not so fast. One of the winningest high school football coaches in America may have set a record for the shortest retirement ever. Coach Skurin, whose record as a high school and college coach is more than 300 wins, was contacted by a German professional football team hours after he stepped down as head football coach at Tucson's Catalina Foothills, where he led Catalina to state playoffs 5 straight years. This will be Coach Skurin's second professional coaching assignment in Europe. In 2012, he led a semi-pro team in Italy to the national championship game. Coach Skurin with us in studio. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, and happy Thanksgiving to all your listeners out
there. And happy Thanksgiving to you and all of your family. You've got your bags packed. You've got a preliminary trip coming up, kind of a see what you're getting into over there in Germany. How did that whole thing come about?
Well, I've done a lot of clinics in Europe, kind of like a Johnny Appleseed, trying to go around and help teams out, to help educate people on coaching, and particularly in the fundamentals. A lot of people watch television like fans, and they see what the NFL does, but they don't have NFL talent over there. And even though many of the players have coached and played in America, and football is getting better, I mean, it's just amazing how it's one of the most rapid growing sports in the world right now.
How widespread is a professional American style professional football?
Well, now there are 80 countries in the world that
Whoa.
Play. And interesting, the Middle Eastern Championship was just decided between Egypt and Abu Dhabi.
You gotta be kidding! That'd be a trivial question for you that they're playing American style football in the Middle East. I had no idea.
It's just incredible how it's spread, and I think it's not just the game. People like the game, and it's so involved. There's a certain intensity that goes with football that it's really tough to find day in and day out. There are certainly parts of it in other sports, but I think there's just something about football and those who have been in a locker room before the game and in halftime. I think they get that, and I think it's one of the things that people that played before really miss. And so for college players that may not be ready for the NFL or played at smaller colleges and really don't get a look, Europe, just like it is in basketball, we know a lot of former U of A
sure.
players who've gone overseas to play. Well, it's really the same place, concept mm-hmm. now with football. And the pay's okay. It's nothing special. But these guys get a chance to go over. And to tell you the truth, not that many of them come back after they go over and experience a whole new life. And
yeah, they fall in love with that whole lifestyle.
Yeah, because it is. It's very different. It doesn't appeal to everybody, but obviously it's a very unique and different thing. And you shouldn't go over there if you want to go over there and bring America to Europe or bring America to any place in the world. The whole idea is to go and be a world traveler and open yourself up and embrace the vive la difference, as the
yeah.
French would say. And I hate to butcher the language.
Well, you have been a world traveler, and that's part of the attraction I know for you. You love Europe and Germany. You're familiar with this area, give our listeners kind of a rough idea, how many teams are in this league in Germany, and where are you going to be?
Well, I'm going to be in Kempten, which is about 1 hour directly southwest of Munich, right at the base of the Bavarian Alps, which is, puts us about a stone's throw away from the Tyrol, the Australian Tyrol, with some of the most amazing skiing in the world.
You ski?
Yes, I do. I used to coach a ski racing team, and but unfortunately, my body and the blood has thinned, and I'm no longer used to winter. As a matter of fact, most of the people who played for me know I have an aversion to cold weather.
Right.
So that part's going to be very challenging. I've spent a small fortune already on snow boots, woolly socks, and long johns and heavy jackets. And it's going to take quite an adjustment because we move in February. And but you have to make winter fun, which means skiing and sledding, tobogganing, those types of things have to become part of your life. Or winter just becomes cold weather and work.
And their league starts in May?
May is when our first games begin. So we'll start practicing a little bit in February, and of course when you can get outside, because Kempten is in the, I'd say, right at the base of the Alps and is subject to heavy snow. So a lot of what you can do depends upon the weather and the depth of the snowfall. So this, like I say, the whole thing is going to be a wild adventure, and we're just going to take it one day at a time, which is how I recommend everybody take life.
Well, when I heard this news about you and the retirement thing, I said to myself, this isn't going to fly. He's not the retiring type.
I never said retirement. I do want to put that caveat in.
You said reinvent or what?
Well, it was just time for me to try something new.
You're right. I don't think the word retirement did come into the picture.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of people said that because
I hate that word myself. But,
well, my wife's famous quote, and Greg Hansen made this real famous, because one time he reported it, they says, Coach Skern has only failed at two things in his life, retirement twice.
How about the whole high school football scene? It's changed so much. You posted something on, and you're very active on Facebook, as am I, about club sports, how they have been the demise of the high school's athletics.
Yeah, and let me just say at the start of that, because I am very active in this part of it, but there are some very excellent private coaches out there who really do well and do a great job. But that's not the norm.
What are club sports?
Well, you know, the rest of the world plays club sports, but they approach it completely different. We're the only country in the world that plays sports in schools. There are a few exceptions, and some private academies are getting going for sports in different parts of the world, particularly tennis academies and things like that people know about. But the Bolotari Academy, for example, where Andre Agassi came out of in Bradenton, Florida, which has sprung into the IMG Academy now for all sports. And those things have been around in smaller doses for quite a long time. And like I say, in the rest of the world, that's how kids grow up playing in club sports after school. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, they become a money factory. And a lot of the coaches have there's no background, there's no certification. For example, in Germany, you have to have a license to go out and coach. You can't go out and charge money and coach kids. Oh, you can't open a restaurant either without a license and going through school.
You do that in this country?
Of course, yes. You can go out, you could start a business, and if you could attract the kids, you do the social media and advertising correctly and make this and that promise, people will come to you and pay money every month. Mm-hmm. And of course, the best athletes don't pay. Mm-hmm. They get all the free equipment, the free clothing,
freebies,
the free travel.
And all that stuff.
Because those are the kids that end up getting the scholarships eventually, and then those coaches will come and claim that, look who I coached, and look at that. Well, in fact, those kids would have made it on their own. They're gifted, they're talented, mm-hmm. and they get found wherever school they go to, wherever that. The great coaches will go out and find those kids.
And what does that happen? What happens into high school athletics?
Well, the AIA, our Interscholastic Association in Arizona, has started new rules that allow, with open enrollment, kids can now transfer from school to school. And with the advent of club sports, many schools have hired club coaches to become their high school coaches, and they bring the kids with them. And so you've seen rich and poor. So some kids, some schools will have a ton of athletes, and other schools that had athletes before now have none.
So the cupboard's bare for some of these people.
And so you've seen this year in the big school divisions, the 4, 5, and 6A in Arizona, you saw an average point spread of over 30 points per game, which basically means the games are not competitive.
No.
And for the kids at those schools that don't have the wherewithal or the talent to pick up and move someplace else, they kind of get left out, and some schools can't field teams and lose. Instead of having varsity, junior varsity, and freshmen and a development system at the school, they're now really without. Some teams could field one or maybe two teams in the program, and that's just not enough to supply, particularly in a full contact sport like football and, say, wrestling.
Well, you're getting out of high school sports at the right time, I think.
It's been my life for so long. Yep. Getting out of it is maybe a physical option, but mentally I'll still be involved and I'll stay active.
You're in touch with all the kids forever. Yeah.
Yeah, and the coaches. I'd still like to be helpful in creating a much more intelligent path that helps kids to do what we should do first, and that's get an education.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. We'll have more with Coach Jeff Skurin after I tell our listeners, Coach, about my favorite bakery in town. I know you know Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle up on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Today's probably Steve, the owner's, busiest day of the year with Thanksgiving. They got all the boxes are ready for the pies. They've got all the dinner rolls. Why not have maybe one of those great Danish Kringles? I love the ones they do, the almond Danish Kringle. Are you into bakery goods at all, Coach?
Well, having traveled in Europe, as you well know, too,
yep.
Every time I come back, that's one of my first stops. That Danish bakery does a wonderful job.
Oh, they do.
I've put on a lot of weight because of them.
They do such a great job. And again, this is not too late. It's not too late to order for Thanksgiving. But go by. They're actually going to be open tomorrow morning, I think, till noon or 1 o'clock. So you can pick up your rolls right there and all the pies. Check out monasdanishbakery.com for more information. 579-1959. We'll be back with the coach in a few moments. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends at Green Things. I love our lineup of sponsors. Coach, I know Coach Skirn is with me. I know you get excited about lineups of players. Well, I get excited about sponsors who support this program.
Because, I can understand that.
But they are a great group. And Green Things, 30, I know you've been over there too, 3384 East River by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They grow these poinsettias. It's a 12-month process. They've got thousands of them right now ready, Coach, to brighten up people's table. I mean, it's amazing on their 13 acres what they do over there. Now they're home to Zocalo, which has all this great merchandise from Mexico, South America. There's some European goods in there. Really a destination in itself, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Coach Jeff Skirn is with us, one of the winningest coaches in America. And he's now moving on to his next challenge, coaching a German professional league, where that team, your roster is about 70, you were telling me?
Yes, about 70.
So
yep.
You can have six, right, American players?
Yes, we'll have six what they call A's. Those are American passport holders.
Okay.
Up to six. Then we'll have about six or seven dual passport holders, and they're obviously very highly thought of in Europe because they don't count against your American total, but they played college football in the United States. And then we'll have about another six to eight, depending upon what the budget can hold, Europeans who on their own dollar came over to play in the United States. So you have A's, which are Americans, you have duals, and then you have E's, which are Europeans. And you could have as many E's as you could afford. So having sponsors and having families with money and that you know, it's a whole money deal.
Yeah.
Athletics at the higher level is all about, you know, what the budget can afford, what mm-hmm. the sponsor is willing mm-hmm. to do. That's just a factor of life in professional athletics.
What about your own career? I think one of the things, and we've talked about this before on your visits with us, are the kids. These kids grow up to be great people.
Well, that's certainly one of the rewards of coaching that you certainly the money just can't step in and take the place of that. I was telling you I watched CBS Sports on Sunday morning mm-hmm. and saw a feature on Blake Martinez, who played mm-hmm. for me at Santa Rita as a sophomore. His father won a state championship with me when we were at Sabino together, and he wanted me to coach Blake, and they moved over until I went over to Italy. And then he finished his career at CDO. And he went on, of course, and went to Stanford. And I helped train him and take him to combines. And the family trusted me enough to do that. And then, of course, after graduating from Stanford, Blake became the third-round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers and starts as their inside linebacker. Very highly thought-of young man, both intellectually and with his dedication. And I saw this special about St. Jude's Children's Hospital and what several of the NFL players were doing, and Blake was one of the featured players, and
giving back to his community.
Yes, yeah. And of course, watching Blake. Of course, I was there when he was born, and know his family very well. As his mother was one of my students at Sabino as well, and just a tremendous family. But the values they instilled upon Blake, watching Blake with his younger siblings and his family, and how he helps raise the twins, the younger twins in the family, he's just the right kind of kid. And seeing him now in the NFL and doing it the right way, dedicated, smart, does the right things for his body, with his life, how he treats his family. When you see something like that, you know you were just lucky as a coach to have people like that step across your plate. And I've been blessed with dozens of those types of kids who make you, in fact, look good. And together, when you have a plan and when you work together, it's amazing how easy wins become. That's really it. You know, people think it's just the strategy or you're lucky enough to get players. It's really an entire a combination of things put together, but it all starts with great people around you.
You know, were you a coach that kind of get in kids' faces, or how would you characterize your style?
My style is honest, you know. So if you know, at the moment, you're certain things, but you also have to know your people.
Okay.
Some kids need a kick in the fanny. Some kids can't live with it. Uh-huh. It destroys their whole day or their week or their season. And you have to know your people. And I wish I could say I was 100%. And anybody looking back and have done the right things. But, you know, you do the best you can. But the better you know your people, I remember an incident. I had a player named Corey Hill at Sabino who also went to Stanford and played a great player for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now a high mucky muck of like vice presidential level at Nike.
Okay.
And Corey's just a great person.
I remember the name.
Yeah, his dad was assistant chief of police here in Tucson. His mother was one of the key people at Raytheon, and he was just another kid that was just raised right to do the right things. But I can remember him on his own trying to block a field goal when we had a safety set on it for the semifinal game at the end of the half, and I just thought the field goal was too long, and he decided on his own he could block it. He ended up roughing the kicker and getting a 15-yard penalty, and then they kicked the field goal. Even though we were still ahead, they're going in halftime. And I remember winking and telling my assistant coach, watch this, and I went and got right in Corey's face and whispered a word or two, and he got so angry with me that I thought he was going to take my head off. But he came out and he held that anger, and he said, comes out of the locker room at halftime, he says, give me the ball, coach, I'll show you. And I didn't. I gave the ball to somebody else on the first play, and he gave me this look, so I gave him the ball on the next play, and he went 55 yards for a touchdown and put the game out of reach.
Oh my goodness.
And so part of that is, and he came over right after and he says, you set me up. But I said, no, I didn't. I just was waiting for the right time. Knowing your personality, you got to know your people. But he's just, you know, when you get kids like that, you know, you have a chance to do some special things.
So what are the plans now? You're going to keep your house here in town?
Of course, Tucson's my home. Okay. I think when we moved here, of course, I lived in Tucson twice. Went to graduate school here, got my master's in psychology at the U of A, and it just wasn't the right time for us to stay. And so we were away for 15 years. But then when we came back in 1984. We said, you know, after a few years, we said, no, this is it. This is where we want to be.
Yep.
And even though things take you away and come back, I think you know where home is. And so we're going to keep our home here, and we will return to Tucson, and we just love it.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing and following you on Facebook and see how it's going with the German professional team. And we really want to wish you all the best of luck, Coach. You're a real treasure for this community, and I want to wish you the luck and have a great holiday season.
Well, thank you, and happy holidays to everybody in Tucson, and I'm going to miss you guys.
All right. Well, we'll get together. We'll catch up with you maybe after the season over there in Germany. Thank you, Coach.
If my bones thaw.
We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Family family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. That's appropriate bumper music. Everybody's talking because we're doing a lot of local talk here now on the all-new KVOI. It starts at 6 a.m. with local talk, and we go right up to 7 p.m., so lots of local talk. I think that's a good thing for our community. Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. It's the only holiday that Americans have specifically gotten together to celebrate gratitude and to remember that our lives are a gift. With me in studio is Reverend Robert Hendrickson, rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I worship here in town. And speaking of gifts, Father Robert, we can thank the Anglicans, can't we, for making Thanksgiving possible?
Absolutely. We ran the Puritans off in an act of real charity, and they came here and started Thanksgiving. So that was, you can say thank you to us.
There you go. All right. So a day when we can all say thankful for many things. But some people are having trouble, as you know, Father Robert, right now, really being thankful for anything. They see a lot of discord, certainly in our country. There are the people that can't stand the president and the people that love the president. There are the people that say, send all the migrants back. There are others that say, let's welcome them. You look at what's going on in places like Yemen with the starving children. And any advice for tomorrow around the Thanksgiving table to kind of keep harmony in the family?
Well, I saw something on Facebook that said you should seat an Episcopalian between your Republican and your Democratic family members because they're good at navigating these kind of differences. But, you know, I was struck. I went back to look at the Thanksgiving proclamation, and the one that fixed the date as being in November was by Abraham Lincoln. And it was declared in 1863. And so think about it. In the middle of the Civil War, Lincoln decides we're going to fix the date of Thanksgiving because the nation needs to pause and give thanks. And
the worst of times for this country.
Absolutely, the absolute worst. And so right now we sort of look at the news and we think, oh, this is terrible. But here's Lincoln saying we need to pause as a nation in the midst of this strife and turmoil and give thanks for all the blessings we have and give thanks for the fact that we are one nation under God, indivisible. And so I think his call to the country was to pause and reflect on the great gift we had been given as one people, even in the midst of the turmoil of the Civil War. And that struck me in a really powerful way, because I was having the exact same thought. It feels like a challenging time, but then it always feels like a challenging
right.
time. And this is the wonderful thing about studying history, is you realize that you know, every point in our history feels like a challenging time when you're in the midst of it. And I think part of what gratitude does is it roots us in something bigger than ourselves, and it roots us in beyond to reach out and sort of say to one another, everything I have is a gift, and I want to share that gift with you. Nothing unlocks generosity like thankfulness, and I think that's part of what's so valuable about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving can also be a wonderful starting point, can't it, Father Robert, to talk about gratitude every day?
Absolutely. And in fact, I was thinking about what's the spiritual practice that one could take on, it's starting with Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We always talk about sort of penitential practice in Lent, and I think the church and people in general could probably use more gratitude practices. But I thought even just doing the simple act of making sure you say the Lord's Prayer every day, if you're a Christian, I mean, when you get to that line, give us this day our daily bread, I mean, it's not just give us what we need to not be hungry. It's give me the very thing I need to be sustained from minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day, generation to generation. That kind of thankfulness begins to open up your mind and your heart in a way that's transformational, not just for the individual, but for whole families, for whole cities, for whole countries. When they spend time sort of dwelling in the active act of gratitude, rather than the kind of petty resentments that we all like to build up and nurture and cherish, that changes us.
Well, I start my morning, and I try to anyway, when I first wake up, I say, thank you, Lord, for letting me survive the night and
Absolutely.
Giving me another day on this planet. And then I say the words, be with me in all I say and do.
That's lovely. And it's exactly what you want to, how you want your day to begin. If you, the one of the great gifts of the Anglican Communion is that we gave the daily office to believers, and the daily office is those sets of prayers you do in the morning and at noonday and in the evening. What I love about it is that morning prayer, the opening devotions, begin with a simple line, Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will show forth thy praise. Mm-hmm. There's something about that the first thing we do in the morning is give thanks to God for the fact that we can say thank you. And then you close the day by sort of asking God to hold you through the night and to hold you safely as the apple of his eye under the shadow of his wings. So there's something lovely about sort of casting ourselves over to God's protection in the evening, but then in the morning, thanking him when we make it through to another day.
It's that prayer where I learned as a child, you know, about if I should die before I wake.
Yes, I pray the Lord my soul
there
to take.
There you go. Yeah.
I wish one of the simplest things I think families can do is learn to do those prayers together, because it's the kind of thing that, like with you, it sticks in your heart as a kid, and something that those words come back to you when everything else seems to be failing, those words come back.
We're speaking with Father Robert Hendrickson. He is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. He has been there now, how long has it been?
A little over two years.
These are challenging times, not just for Episcopalians, but really for any spiritual leaders, because politics are going to seep in to congregations.
Yep.
Could congregations bring their issues to church? They don't go away when people walk into the sanctuary.
No, they're
there. So how do you navigate those waters?
I try and help people navigate them by remaining fixed on what are the principles we commit to together, not what are the parties we're committed to or the partisanship of the question, but what are the deeper moral and ethical questions the church is always being called to ask. And part of what I want to do is equip people to seek in scripture, in prayer, in their sacramental life, to sort of seek how they can do the most good in their life, regardless of where they land in a partisan way. And this is one of the things that I think is so hard right now is it has become a thing where party politics has become the way people define themselves, and we've lost the sense of a common story, a common purpose, a common sense of belonging. And I think this is one of the things the church can do, is help us all recognize that we, going back to the Lord's Prayer, the way it begins is Our Father. Jesus is welcoming us to be brothers and sisters with a common inheritance, which is the kingdom. And that transcends party politics. It transcends partisan differences. And so trying to remain fixed on that, where our true joy is found, where our true purpose and meaning is found, is, I think, where churches can be most helpful to individuals trying to navigate this. And at the same time, the church has a moral obligation to sort of stand when the dignity of people is being taken from them or robbed from them, whether it's by injustices or oppression. The church has a moral necessity to stand in the gap and hold the line.
I think the ideal would be a spiritual and ethical compass, and then the politics can be kind of on the side.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
I mean, if you kind of take that attitude when you walk into St. Philip's or wherever you're going to worship, and I hope you do worship. Thanksgiving is a day I like to actually go to church, and we'll be going tomorrow. But when you take that attitude into the sanctuary, I think it's almost like it clears your mind of
yes.
a lot of stuff.
Well, it does, and there's so much. The hard thing right now in our culture is we are saturated with information and starving for wisdom. And I think that we're all being bombarded constantly, especially with social media now. We're bombarded constantly with these things that are meant to provoke anger. They're meant to provoke an adrenaline response. It's an addictive response. And we're all becoming more and more addicted to anger. And the sense of peace where we find real meaning, the sense of kind of calm where we hear the still small voice of God is just being eroded and eliminated in place after place in our society. And church is one of those places left where you might still be able to find that sense of peace and purpose that will transcend the noise of the culture.
Bob Dio, my fine producer, just put this up on my screen, and I do want to share this with Father Robert and our listeners. We are saturated with information and starving for wisdom. Good point, Bob. Wouldn't
yes.
you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's
Bob on the other side of the glass and Robert here, and I've got a Robert waiting in the wings. It's Bob and
it
Robert
is.
Day. No, well, but I think that is a good thought.
Well, it's the kind of thing where we don't know how to process the amount of information that's coming in. And part of what we need is the stories of our faith, the stories of the saints, the stories of our ancestors, to understand and make sense of the information that's coming in so we can actually make meaning out of it rather than just making more noise.
And I hope you don't mind me inviting people to come to worship at St. Philip's tomorrow, because this is not only a church service at 11 o'clock in a lovely setting, but this is an opportunity if you are alone or you don't want to cook a Thanksgiving
yes.
dinner. There is going to be a feast after the service.
Absolutely. There's 11 o'clock. We worship, and at mm-hmm. right after,
yeah.
There's dancing on the tables and throwing mashed potatoes.
No, everyone is invited
Absolutely.
To come out to St. Philip's in the Hills. Father Robert, always a pleasure. I thank you very much.
Thank you, as always. Thank
I'll
you.
Hopefully see you tomorrow.
Yes, I know I will.
Mona's Danish Bakery, they are so busy for Thanksgiving. Steve and the team had about six people, and they're just doing all the baking today, getting ready with all the baked goods for Thanksgiving dinner and all the pies. But give them a try. They've been such a great sponsor for us. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by. You can call. You can stop by. Check them out on the web, Mona's Danish Bakery, or just stop by. Tomorrow morning, they'll be open bright and early, and I think they're going to be open until about noon to pick up all of your things. But if you haven't ordered, you can just walk in and grab a pie and a lot of dinner rolls at Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster program. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A lot of people have time off this week. How about a road trip? Only 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. You can, and I do suggest this would be a great starting place, southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of many places. Great places to stay in that area and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Everybody over there, we send so many of our listeners, they all come back and say the same thing. Bill, I didn't realize what a great place that is to visit, and it's not that far away. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, even has a school named after him. Deservedly so. He was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. How are you, Dr. Hendricks?
I'm doing just great. I'm ready for these holidays.
You're ready to get the holidays going?
I bet you are, too.
I am, and starting the starvation diet until about 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
So I guess we all do that. Ready to go. The interesting article in the New York Times about students who thrive when teachers kind of look like they do. What's that all about? Was that surprising to you?
Not surprising, but if you look at the demographics of the teaching profession, you know, it's always been dominated by women.
Uh-huh.
And In fact, 77% of teachers are female.
Wow.
And that's actually up from 3 years ago. It was 71%.
So I had no idea.
We're actually seeing an increased percentage of women teachers. And less than 18% of our teachers are Latino, and yet one out of every three children in the U.S. lives in a household where language other than English is spoken.
Hmm.
And so the teacher workforce is slightly more diverse than it has been before racially, but still 80% of our teachers are white.
Hmm.
Now, what does that really mean? I mean, if you look at an urban school across the country, student bodies are almost 100% minority, and yet the majority of the teachers are white mm-hmm. in those mm-hmm. schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make a difference, mm-hmm. and that's where I want to talk a little bit
okay.
about the studies that are currently underway and some fairly recent studies that look at race and does race really matter. And does gender really matter in this whole idea of matching students with teachers?
Does it? Does the research show that it does matter?
It does, but it raises almost as many questions as
yeah.
it does answers. I mean, there have been numerous race match studies which conduct interesting issues with teachers of a similar gender, mm-hmm. of like gender, of like race, with a classroom of students of that gender and that race. And we've long known that, you know, there are a number of factors that contribute to student achievement. And certainly experience and training is really important, school funding, social environment. But what we really haven't talked about too much, because it's a very sensitive issue,
yes, it is.
How does race and gender factor in as mm-hmm. a matter of student achievement? Well, there have been some studies recently. There's one that was done of preschoolers that suggests that the background of the teachers in front of the classroom really do make a huge difference in what they learn.
Hmm.
And so this study looked at African-American children. And what was reported is there were fewer behavioral problems when paired with a person of similar identity.
Hmm.
And also, researchers speculate that perhaps these teachers maybe had a better understanding of those students' behavior, or maybe they had a better culturally relevant understanding of how to help students in the classroom. But we don't know. We really don't know. Those are anecdotal reports of behavior, but the researchers did conclude that there was a difference
hmm.
and that the difference was significant enough that it ought to be looked at further. Now, in the current school environment, we do know a few statistical things because they can be measured. We know that, for example, African-American boys are referred to special education classrooms more than boys of any other race. And we also know that there are oftentimes more disciplinary referrals. Now, is this a culturally embedded behavior kind of an issue, or is it something else? Again, that really warrants additional study. What we have found is that as students progress up into the higher grades, that they're more likely not to drop out of school and more likely to attend college if they've at least had one or two experiences with teachers of the same ethnic background.
Hmm. Interesting.
And Stanford University also looked at another area, and that's teacher gender.
Mm-hmm.
And does teacher gender make an impact on students? Well, they looked at eighth grade girls. They looked at a very large sample of eighth grade girls, and they found that girls seem to do better if they're paired with a female teacher
mm-hmm.
and the boys paired with a male one.
Hmm.
And so in high school math and science classes, the studies have shown that when women have a female instructor, they tend to have higher grades, they tend to participate more in class, and they tend to be more motivated in their field of study.
Hmm.
So what is the solution? Well, the obvious solution was let's get more minority teachers.
Yeah, let's get more diversity in the teaching corps. And that's just, it's been very slow. The numbers show, I think, that it's gone down now from 87 to 80%.
Right, there is
that is 80% white. So the diversity has been very slow coming.
Very slow, I think realistically, as we look at the market, I think it's going to be very difficult to change it measurably, so some school districts have taken this on as their charge, and I'm looking at a number of inner city schools, particularly back in the East Coast and the Midwest, where they have matched students racially and culturally. So, for example, a school of all African-American children with African-American staff, or a school with all Latino children and Latino staff. That's an interesting concept. I mean, they have seen some great strides in student achievement. But there's also a downside to that. Very much so. And we have to be very, very careful, I think.
Because it's like segregation.
You are.
Yeah.
You know, it is a segregation model. And I think we have to be very cautious about saying, well, this is the answer, because if we do that, then we are, you know, there are some social consequences to that. What other educators have said was, let's not segregate them. Let's take a look at our teacher population, and let's give them some very strong immersion experiences to help them understand that maybe unconsciously they're stereotyping students, that they are maybe not raising as high expectations for students of a different ethnicity. And if we work with them and create a more a stronger staff development program to help those teachers understand that population of students, maybe we can achieve higher academic achievement.
All right, Dr. Bob Hendricks, good to see you. We've got changes with Kathy Hoffman winning the school superintendent.
We do. I'm very anxious to
see how that
hear
plays
some
out.
Of her views. I've only heard snippets of her her positions, you know, in the campaign, and one never knows really how much of that to believe or not in any campaign. So I hope that you have a chance.
Yeah, we're going to try to get her on the show. I think we're going to get her on after she is actually sworn in. We do have the outgoing school superintendent on the program Monday. We're going to sit down with Diane Douglas, talk about her 4 years.
Yeah, I would hope that one of the things that you do is ask her what she has learned.
Yes,
you know,
that
from
will
her
be
journey.
That certainly will be one of my questions to Diane Douglas on Monday's program. Dr. Hendricks, have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Bill.
Always a pleasure to see you. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We've got 2 days of special programs here. We've got Thanksgiving tomorrow, and then Friday we're also going to have a special show, kind of what we call in the business a best of program. But I like to think these are great segments that are worth a second airing. So I hope everybody has a very happy and safe and blessed Thanksgiving. On behalf of Bob Dio, my producer engineer, and Dr. Robert Hendricks, have a good one.